Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, we now bring you a discussion on strengthening India-Australia strategic partnership. The participants are Professor Rahul Mishra, international affairs expert, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
India-Australia partnership has been deepening and strengthening. The bilateral partnership was upgraded to comprehensive strategic partnership in 2020. Defence Minister Rajnath Singh is on a two-day visit to Australia. The Defence Minister held a bilateral meeting with the Australian Deputy Prime Minister and Defence Minister, Mr. Richard Marles. To talk more about this power-packed visit of the Defence Minister, we are now joined by international affairs expert, Professor Rahul Mishra. Professor Mishra, welcome to Akashvani.
Thank you.
First of all, I would like to begin the discussion with your opening remarks on the importance of a deepening partnership between the two nations. And how do you see this at a time when there is so much of global instability?
Look, India and Australia are two maritime powers with profound regional influence. India is a net security provider in the Indian Ocean region and is widening its influence in the Indo-Pacific as well. While Australia is a net security provider and fast responder to the crisis in the South Pacific region with growing influence in the Indian Ocean, but also wider Indo-Pacific. So these two countries, when it comes to the maritime front, are formidable powers. When they come together to work, to collaborate, to jointly produce things related to maritime or naval issues, I think that makes a big impact and contributes to regional stability.
Three key agreements, an agreement on information sharing, an MOU on submarine search and rescue cooperation, and terms of reference on the establishment of joint staff talks were also signed between the two leaders. Could you briefly touch upon each one of them and explain their significance?
Intelligence sharing is something on which India and Australia have been working together. Australia is one of the prime members of its own club that includes the US, UK, New Zealand, Japan, Canada, and that's called the Five Eyes Group. In terms of gathering intelligence, they have very good competence, which is complementary to India's intelligence capabilities and intelligence gathering maneuvers. So I think India's efforts complement with Australia, and moving forward, these two countries can strengthen their national security and resilience of their national security apparatus by collaborating. In terms of staff colleges, these mechanisms at a primitive stage existed earlier. What the two governments are doing is to strengthen it, to bring it to new heights for greater mutual understanding and mutual learning from each other through the staff college agreement that has been signed. The submarine search and rescue operation is also something that has a background. When the Malaysian aircraft MH370 disappeared, a multi-nation search and possibly rescue operation was conducted back then. And India and Australia joined hands to search for the missing plane, and they presented to the world, particularly to the region, that they have the capability and the intention to work together and to join hands to synergize their capabilities and respond to crisis moments like the one that was there in through MH-70. So this submarine search and rescue is connected with the past, and it also gives us the opportunity to work together in keeping in view the future operations. Australia is working very closely with the UK and the US in acquiring submarines through the AUKUS deal, and India already has submarines. So this is something that holds a lot of relevance, also keeping in mind China's belligerent postures or situations that involve a regional crisis. So I think this makes the submarine search and rescue agreement very relevant.
In fact, when it comes to signaling or posturing, even today, RM visited one of the key bases of Australia. So how do you see that?
Look, Australia and India, like I mentioned earlier, are these two powerful maritime nations with their own profound military capabilities, naval capabilities. The visit by Raksha Mantri Rajnath Singh holds significance because this also signals that the two countries are working in together in promoting or strengthening their collaboration, and also in ship visits, using ports for facilities, and being prepared for any eventuality, whether it is non-traditional security or the traditional conventional situation involving a conflict or a conflict of unconventional nature.
In fact, here I would also like to touch upon an important point. The defense forces of both the countries keep conducting a lot of bilateral exercises. And in your opinion, how important it is to enhance the synergy and cooperation between any two countries, and here in this case, between the two Indo-Pacific partners?
When we look at joint military exercises, there are three important components. One is understanding the terrain. Remember, America lost the Vietnam War because the American soldiers, despite being perceived as the best and the brightest, were not familiar with the terrain. Second, when you have decided your terrain, what kind of war or conflict you are going to engage in. Again, the Vietnam War is an example of guerrilla war that Americans were not aware of. And third is mutual learning, acquiring best practices. So India, Australia, a joint training and joint exercise programs actually fit all these criteria. Indian soldiers are not familiar with the terrain that exists in countries like Australia. So when they go out, whether it is UN missions, peacekeeping missions, or situations that might involve at one stage in the Indo-Pacific theater, the involvement of Indian armed forces, the familiarity is important. Second, the kind of conflicts that exist in the Indian subcontinent or wider Asia versus the kind of disputes or conflicts or war strategies that exist in South Pacific, in the Australian and the wider Western Circle, is something that these two countries must be familiar. And the third is best practices. I think Australian forces, despite being very lean and thin, are still one of the smartest. Indian armed forces, big in size, they have capabilities, they have advanced technologies, but there's still a lot to learn. So I think on these three counts, Indian Australia complement each other, and that's why this aspect of relationship has always been at the center stage. Joint training, joint defense exercises, training of cadets and personnel, exchanges. The third agreement that you talked about also talks about that, the staff college, joint staff talks, and learning from the defense forces of each other.
The focal point of RM's visit is, of course, defense. So first, let's listen to what he said while addressing the Made in India-Australia Defense Industry Business Roundtable in Sydney. He also invited Australian companies to co-develop and co-produce high-end systems in India. So first, let's listen to what he had to say.
DRDO and Australia Defense Science and Technology Group are already collaborating on towed array sensors. Later this year, collaboration on in fields of quantum technology, artificial intelligence, cyber security, information warfare, and advanced science and technology are set to be explored. India welcomes the Australian companies to partner with Indian industries to co-develop and co-produce high-end systems, including propulsion technologies, autonomous underwater vehicles, flight simulators, and advanced materials.
So, Australia's defense requirements are mostly fulfilled or dominated by the Western partners, the Western countries. How will this shift open up a new chapter in the bilateral defense partnership as well as bilateral relationship between the two nations?
Well, India's Make in India has established itself as a flagship policy initiative taken by Prime Minister Modi. And over past 11 years, we've seen that this has demonstrated commendable success. And BrahMos, I think, is the best example. There are a number of other examples, like Akash missile, for example. When it comes to joint production or India and Australia working together in terms of defense production, it opens up two possibilities. One, it will cater to the needs of Australian defense forces with the production happening in India. It will also serve the purpose of Indian initiative, Make in India for the World, as Prime Minister mentioned it a couple of months back, that Australian companies and Australian agencies, institutions work with their counterparts in India, and together they produce and cater to the needs of Asian and African countries, also at one stage the Western countries. So Make in India for the World is something that India and Australia are aspiring to work together. And this will, of course, help them meet their own domestic needs in the defense sector.
In fact, here I would like to bring your focus to the Quad, and because Quad is a very good multilateral forum for India and Australia to cooperate, but there are certain uncertainties as well attached to Quad. So how do you analyze Quad and India's bilateral partnership with Australia in the current times?
Look, Quad, like any other multilateral grouping, is facing a bit of uncertainty. It is facing challenges, and these challenges are not unusual. This could happen at any time with any government in power. So whatever is happening with the Quad is one factor, but regardless of that, I think what Quad has achieved is greater institutionalization between India, Australia, Japan, and the US. And that institutional mechanism has opened up new possibilities for India and Australia and Japan to work together. And America is still part of it, even though Trump has been a bit skeptical about working with these three countries setting. But that said, I think Quad is still relevant. Quad will be relevant and existing in some or the other form. The question is whether Quad will be able to act as the security provider to the Indo-Pacific region, whether it will contribute systematically and comprehensively in making sure that the regional status quo, the strategic equilibrium, is maintained. So I think that is one question on which policymakers must be pondering over. But the jury is still out. We still cannot write off Quad. And my sense is that Quad will exist in one or the other form. So because this region needs an institutional mechanism to make sure that the rules-based order in the Indo-Pacific is not disrupted, that it is not violated, that it is not taken for granted.
In fact, the defense minister, while addressing the Made in India-Australia Defense Industry Business Roundtable in Sydney, categorically mentioned that the defense exports, India's defense exports have reached 23,622 crore. So before we proceed, let's listen to his words.
The Indian companies now export to around 100 countries. Friends, strategic reforms such as Make in India, production-linked incentive schemes, and a digital transformation have fostered a conducive environment for innovation, investment, and manufacturing growth. India's young and skilled workforce, expanding infrastructure, and rising technological capabilities are further strengthening its role as a global economic hub and a reliable partner in resilient supply chains.
So, Professor Mishra, your parting comments on India's surge in India's defense exports and with Indian companies now exporting to nearly 100 countries.
Make in India in the defense sector, the growth so far has been phenomenal. I mean, India as a net defense importer is something that the world had accepted back in 1990s. To India of 2025, when we are exporting defense equipments to 100 plus countries, is something that the whole world is watching with appreciation. And this trend is likely to continue because our institutions and policymakers and the leadership is already invested in it. There are sectors in which India has to build its capabilities, to strengthen its capabilities. Critical minerals, artificial intelligence, the new and emerging technologies are the areas where the focus really is. So India's semiconductor policy, for example, is very good initiative that will contribute to further growth in the defense sector. The focus on making India in defense, and we have seen several rounds of expos and events and talks on the defense sector. So I think that will also contribute to India's defense exports. And let us not forget that the global defense market has been dominated, rather manipulated, by Western countries and China. And they have been asking for really exorbitant prices from countries of Africa and developing, poorer countries of Asia. So India, with its good technology and quality production, with a low-cost policy, I mean, we have seen this in the space sector as well. So cost-effective production in the defense sector with high technology and with collaboration with other partners is something that can present itself as a role model and a commendable example of how a leading country of global South can also cater to the needs of the fellow countries from Global South in the defense sector.
Thank you so much, Professor Mishra, for sparing your valuable time and giving us so many insights on this very important visit of Defense Minister to Australia. And thank you for joining us for Spotlight tonight.
Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on strengthening India-Australia strategic partnership. The participants were Professor Rahul Mishra, international affairs expert, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.